Has that kind of stuff affected you today? I mean, do you carry that with you? Was it?
Carry. Well, of course, you always carry your own experience.
I mean, do you take those?
What it means is that I work very hard to, when I'm thinking about public interactions or when I'm thinking about developing constituencies for this park, for example, I think very hard about how to engage people in positive ways. I don't just let it happen, because I don't. If you just let it happen, I don't know where it goes. And even if you plan and try to figure out what are things that constituent what will be engaging to different kinds of constituents, or helpful in different communities, you still don't know where it may go. But I try to be, and that's also maybe a question of age as well. I just try to be more strategic.
So you said that you were in Pittsburgh. You were there for 18 years, is that mm-hmm. correct? So how did you move from being the first deputy commissioner of the Parks and Recreation into the and city urban planner in Pittsburgh?
Husband job had to move.
did you like Pittsburgh? Did you feel connected to the city at all? I mean, you had spent so much time here.
Well, when we first were moving there, I was not happy about it. But my daughter was little. She was 3 and a half, and so actually, and we were moving from a wonderful house in Brooklyn, but it was a neighborhood which today is golden, but then was not that safe. It was Park Slope, and when we moved to Pittsburgh, I could just let her go out the back door, and I didn't have to think about it. And that was on the sort of mom front, on the logistics of life front, initially when we got there, it was a lot easier. But professionally, it was hard to get going because Pittsburgh is a really small town. It hadn't had up until that point as New York has a tradition of reform movements, periodically some reform person comes along, people vote out the old and in the new. Pittsburgh doesn't have a reform tradition because of the way the economy there was and the big steel industry and so on and so forth. It had gone on a certain way basically since the 1880s, 1860s. And I was lucky enough to be involved in the campaign of a new reform person who actually did get elected. I did some consulting also when I got there because, let's see. Oh, I know. When I had my daughter, I was 39 at the time, and I decided that I wanted more control over my schedule than the basic 50, 60 hour a week jobs that I was used to having. And so I and some other friends who had also done their career first and then had their kids, we sort of formed a middle-aged mom's consulting firm. People were constantly calling us and asking us to take jobs because we all had good reputations, and we said no, we won't take a full-time job, but if you have a project that you would like us to do, we will do it. So I was doing that, actually, when we left New York for Pittsburgh. I was doing that after I was first deputy commissioner. And other intervening things. So when I got to Pittsburgh, I tried to form a similar middle-aged mom consulting practice before I actually got involved in the government. It was hard to do there because the career first, children second thing was more of a big city thing than a Pittsburgh thing. So there weren't that many middle-aged moms there who were
working,
who were professionals who had their kids late. So that's all to say that's how I got started. And I had a great run in Pittsburgh, government job in Pittsburgh. One of the things that actually was relevant to this job was there was a huge, well, a lot of it was relevant to this job because the leftover open spaces in Pittsburgh were all where dead steel mills were. This is relevant to Glens Falls also.
Yes.
Paper companies and whatnot.
Yes.
I know. So the reform mayor that I was working for, Tom Murphy, his thing was let's make assets out of liabilities. And so we were really focused on riverfront development, really focused on downtown development. And one of the things that we did was we turned a 200-acre slag dump into a beautiful new urbanist community, which the process for doing that, though reminiscent of this in some ways, was actually very difficult because the neighbors were used to the slag dump. They were afraid that, A, something toxic would be stirred up as we went about doing it, and B, that we put in Section 8 housing, which we actually had no intention of doing. Do you know what Section 8 housing
is? Yes, I do.
Okay.
That's very interesting.
This was next to, this particular development was next to one of the very successful neighborhoods in Pittsburgh. So they didn't want any poor people coming in. And actually, it wasn't our intention to bring poor people in. I mean, we wanted to do some affordable housing, but we really were not interested in doing public housing there. But anyway, what we did was we got a community committee and let them choose the environmental monitor and blah, blah, blah. And now there's a waiting list for this.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's a fabulous place.
Did you have a community advisory group? I mean, was it like a brownfield and redevelopment incentive?
Is that
why they made you put Section 8 housing on there?
No, but they didn't. We didn't have to.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't have to. It's what the public, because folks assumed the worst, as they often will, but it wasn't the case, despite the fact we kept saying that's not what's happening.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought that was part of the...
No.
The incentive.
No. Actually, we did this with a private developer, and we didn't need big incentives. We actually gave the developer a huge break on the property, but he made the investment.
Okay.